Case number 08-5205, Federal Trade Commission versus Scott Tariff, et al., appellants. Mr. Grannon for the appellants, Mr. DeMille Wagman for the appellee.
Chief Judge Santel, and may it please the court. Your Honors, I will focus on two points this morning demonstrating that there is no textual basis for the FTC.
I want to make sure I fully understand your argument, because I'll be honest with you, I had a bit of trouble following your reasoning. You're arguing that because the regulation says you shall do one thing, that unambiguously says you shan't do something else. Is that correct?
That is correct, Your Honor, and I think what's...
Now, if your wife tells you you shall pick up a loaf of bread at the grocery store on the way home, is she telling you you can't also buy a can of coffee?
Well, Your Honor, if my wife had said to me that here are your marching orders for the grocery store, go pick up a loaf of bread, then I would be within my rights not to pick up anything other than the loaf
you
of bread, Your Honor.
You certainly would be within your rights not to pick it up, but that does not suggest that you would be beyond your authority if you bought something else, counsel.
And here's why this is different than the
grocery store. I'd be interested in knowing why.
Here's why this is different than the grocery store, Your Honor. These are regulations, Your Honor. Mm-hmm. They're not some
and
internal...
And if it weren't for this regulation, so far as we know from the statutory authority of the commission, they could use any kind of transcription device they wanted, couldn't they?
I'm not so sure about that, Your Honor, but there is a regulation.
As I read your argument, the only reason you're suggesting they can't use electronic recording is because of the statutes, the regulation says you shall have it stenographically transcribed, right?
Your Honor, this...
That's your whole argument, isn't it?
Your Honor, and I'll explain my argument. This regulation specifies the means for memorializing investigational hearings.
It says you have to do it that way, but it does not say you can't also memorialize it in some other fashion.
Your Honor, in this context, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to place a whole lot of weight on the absence of an express prohibition, Your Honor.
It makes a world of sense, counsel.
I respectfully disagree with that, Your Honor.
Well, with respect, you won't get to decide that, and we will. And after reading your brief, I am left grasping to find out what it is that you think about this regulation forbids the use of some other methodology in addition to the one it's compelled.
That's the point, Your Honor.
I looked at your precedents, and starting with that National Association of Home Builders versus Defenders of Wildlife, you have that language from there about shall setting a floor and a ceiling. However, when I looked at the context of that language, that referred to the trigger for the mandatory provision, not the effect of it. There were 9 criteria for granting a permit. The statute in question said EPA shall grant the permit if those 9 criteria are met. The 9th Circuit was permitting the engrafting of a 10th criterion, and the court was saying, no, when it says you shall do it upon 9 criteria, there's a floor and a ceiling. But they didn't say, once you get around to carrying out the mandate of the shall verb, you can't do other things at the same time, did they?
Your Honor, I have 2 points based on the text, tethered to the text of the regulation before this court, that I hope will change your mind, Your Honor.
Well, I hope you'll answer my question before you get to those, because you understand there are 3 people who get to vote on this case, and you know what one of them is interested in, and I want you to answer me. Really, the language of floor and ceiling in National Association of Home Builders had nothing to do with the extent of the mandate in the verb shall. It had to do with the trigger, didn't it?
Your Honor, I confess I think you're more familiar with the way that statute operated, but the general
point... Well, I'm talking about the case that you cited. That, I hope you're familiar with that.
I am familiar with that, Your Honor, and the general point from Christensen and the other authorities that we cited is that sometimes, in context, the sole specification of a certain manner of doing something can naturally exclude others, Your Honor.
That may be the case, but this is not one of them. This case that you cited, National Association for Home Builders, did not hold that at all. It didn't hold that there was any limit an additional method of carrying it out. It said that you can't add additional criterion to the trigger for the verb shall.
Right, and what we're suggesting here is that the FTC cannot add additional means of memorializing investigational hearings, Your Honor. And again, if I could go to the text, Your Honor, I think I can make
sure. Before you go to the text, let me just make sure you answer the questions through the lens that we have to look at this. The home builder case that Chief Judge Santel just asked you about was interpreting a statute, right? This is interpreting a regulation. And I assume you know that we won't set aside an agency interpretation of its own regulation unless it's plainly erroneous, right?
Well, Your Honor, I think that's the case if there's a prerequisite ambiguity.
Plainly erroneous. In other words, you may have even a better interpretation of it than the agency does, but you have to convince us that it's plainly erroneous.
Your Honor, as we noted in the authorities detailed on pages 3 and 4 of our gray brief, that standard only applies if there is a prerequisite ambiguity. And
that's the rule for a statute.
No, Your Honor, I can address the authorities detailed on pages
those
3 to 4.
Those are all statutory cases.
Those are the cases that were cited by the FTC.
So you're disagreeing with me about the standard review I just described, that it's plainly erroneous?
If I understand the cases correctly that we've discussed, Your Honor, if there's no ambiguity.
Well, how can there not be an ambiguity here? The statute says one thing they may do, and it doesn't say what they can't do. So why isn't that an ambiguity?
Your Honor, the FTC says it's not ambiguous.
They say it's unambiguously giving them the authority to do this. Are you willing to accept that? If you do, you better sit down. If you agree with what they say about the lack of ambiguity, you better sit down, because they're saying that it unambiguously allows them to do what they've done here.
Well,
your whole argument, as I understand it, your whole argument stems just from the regulation. You're not saying that the agency doesn't have any affirmative authority to do this elsewhere.
I'm saying that the regulation trumps any other authority. The FTC has never pointed to any statutory authority, Your Honor.
Your argument is based solely on this regulation, right?
The FTC says that this is the dispositive authority, Your Honor.
But you disagree with them about that, but you're not arguing. You do allude sometimes in your brief, in your reply brief, I think, or elsewhere, to an argument that maybe there's no affirmative authority in the statute to do this. But that's not what you're arguing, is it? You're arguing that this regulation prohibits them from using a video recording device, correct?
My argument is that the regulation's sole specification of stenographic transcription as the means of memorializing investigation hearings does prohibit them.
So your position is the answer is yes.
And to make it plain, Judge Tatel, that the FTC says that this regulation is unambiguous, if you look at tab 28 of the JA,
but we don't have to agree with them that it's unambiguous to rule in their favor.
If you disagree and this court were to find the regulation ambiguous, then the proper outcome under this court's precedence would be a reversal and remand.
Why is that?
Because Cajun Electric says so, Your Honor.
Because what says
because that? Because Cajun Electric says so.
And is that interpreting a statute or a regulation?
It was a regulation, Your Honor. And I can provide the citation to that on rebuttal if you like.
So that case says if it's ambiguous.
That case says, Your Honor, if this court determines that the agency erroneously determined that the regulation in question was unambiguous, that you must reverse and send it back.
You can't win without an ambiguity here. You can't. Because the regulation does not say that they cannot use other means of transcription in addition to the one mandate. It doesn't say that. You cannot come in here with a straight face and claim that that regulation unambiguously forbids what the agency did here.
If Chief Judge, if you would allow me to make the two points that I tried to make before, I think I can address that, and I would like to try to change your mind on this. Because if you look at the regulation, Your Honors,
where is the regulation in your brief?
Page 2, Your Honor. Page 2, in its entirety. And you look at Section 2.8b, it has two sentences in it. Two sentences, Your Honors. If you look at the first sentence, for example, it says, investigational hearings shall be conducted by any commission member, examiner, attorney, investigator, or other person. There's an express catch-all. We don't see anything like that in the next sentence. But, Your Honor, there's no express.
Whoa, get to your point.
There's no
the
express.
Part of the regulation that says about, that we're dealing with today says, such hearings shall be stenographically reported, and a transcript thereof shall be made part of the record of investigation. What is it about that unambiguously says You can't use other methods in addition to spinograph.
My point, Chief Judge Sintel, is that the absence of an express prohibition in that sentence is not a hook on which to videotape these investigational hearings, just like in the first sentence.
That doesn't climb the hill you have to climb. It does not provide for the taking of other means of transcription. Neither does it forbid.
Neither does the first sentence forbid another official from conducting the investigational hearing, but it wouldn't make any sense. The FTC could say, oh, it's just a minimum, under their logic, Your Honor.
No, that isn't even grammatically the same. In there, it gives a listing which is disjunctive, so that you must have one of the listed disjunctive elements in order to satisfy the mandate of that regulation.
Let's say it didn't.
It says it shall be conducted by, and that gives a list of people in the disjunctive. So it does not leave any room for anyone else to take it.
I respectfully disagree, Your Honor.
You can't disagree with what I just said. You're looking at the regulation. That's what it says.
Your Honor, I respectfully disagree with the consequence of what you're saying. The first sentence, if you were to end it at investigational hearing shall be conducted by any commission member, period, would be nonetheless clear. It would be mandatory and exclusive, and there would be no list and no disjunctive, Your Honor, and no express prohibition. But the FTC couldn't have a DOJ antitrust official also conduct the hearing and say, well,
they could have one present, couldn't they?
Present, Your Honor? Okay. Not conduct. There's another regulation that excludes others from the room.
But as far as that regulation would be concerned, it would be the only empowerment for them to do that. But do they need an empowerment to make a transcription of this? I thought your argument was not based on a lack of power, but based on a lack of grant in this regulation.
No. Your Honor, it's based on the import of the limitation. Again, Your Honor,
there isn't a limitation there.
There's not an express limitation. There's right. A naturally implied limitation, Your Honor.
How is that naturally implied? I'm going to take you back to the grocery store. How is that naturally implied?
Because
why don't the words there say, you shall do this, and then maintain a studied agnosticism on whether you might also do something else?
The regulation written in 1967 that specifies stenographic transcription as the sole means for memorializing.
It doesn't say that. You keep paraphrasing it. You keep saying it gives the method of transcription. Well, it gives the required one, but that's not the same as giving the method. You said it says it's the sole method. It doesn't say it's the sole method. If you rewrite it, of course you can make it mean what you want it to, but
Let me not rephrase it, Your Honor. Let me go to a larger point, Your Honor. This is not an internal operating procedure. It's not an in-house agency manual. It's a regulation. The purpose of this regulation is to advise the public of what will happen to them in these investigations.
And the agency has the authority to interpret its regulations so long as it isn't plainly erroneous.
We've disagreed on that, Your Honor. There has to be a prerequisite ambiguity, and I've got the law to support that.
Let me ask you this. You know, many, many court reporters, they use the machine, right, for typing, and then they have a tape recorder next to them to double-check what they've done.
That's the norm now.
Would this prohibit the use of that tape recorder?
No, it would not.
Why?
That happened in this case. I defended each of
these actions. Let me ask my question, okay? Why wouldn't, under your theory, since Webster's defines stenographic as shorthand, why wouldn't your interpretation of this prohibit the use of a supplementary tape recorder? Because that's not a stenographic recording.
Your Honor, again, that happened in this case.
I know it happened in this case, and therefore, why wasn't it illegal under your theory?
Because that's an aid to transcription, Your Honor. That audio.
No,
tape.
Look up stenographic in Webster's, it says the use of shorthand, the art or process of writing in shorthand. Now, under your theory, they couldn't use the tape recorder, correct?
I'm telling you the basis for our objection, Your
Honor. I'm trying to understand how, given your theory, that this limits the way in which they can record them. You say they can't use video recording because it's not stenographic.
Neither is
a tape recorder stenographic.
The way that I can reconcile that under our theory, Your Honor, is that the videotape here is not an aid to transcription. It is a competing memorial of the investigational hearing of the testimony.
That's exactly what the tape recorder is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, Your Honor. The FTC has never said to us that the audio tapes that were used in our investigational hearings, that they are empowered under their statute.
Under your theory, you should be challenging that also.
Pardon me?
under your theory, you should be challenging that also.
Your Honor, we're challenging what the FTC has put forward as a competing memorial to the transcript provided for under this regulation. Your Honors, if you look at the...
Not for us. Right now, you're challenging the authority of the FTC to make an electronic recording of what occurred there.
Your Honors, the FTC knows expressly how to provide for other means of recording when it wants to, when that's what it means. In the 28J letter that
suppose the recorder, suppose the reporter uses a technique where they speak into a cone. You've seen that, right?
That also happened in this case, Your Honor.
Okay, isn't that prohibited by this?
The steno masks would not be.
It's not stenographic.
Your Honor, whether someone else might challenge it, I can tell you that we would
I'm
not.
I'm asking why those practices are consistent with your theory of the case. If you want us to adopt your theory of the case, we need to know what the consequences of that are. And what I'm asking you is whether the consequences of ruling for you would be to ban these other forms of making transcripts. And you haven't given me a satisfactory answer as to why.
I would like to try to do that right now, Dr. Tatel.
Right.
Under our theory of the case, it's consistent to allow steno masks because whatever the court reporter is saying into the steno mask that's being recorded is an aid to transcription. It's not a competing memorial. It doesn't have equivalent weight with the transcript. That's what the FTC has said in this case.
You're the one who wants to live or die by the rules, by the words of the regulation, and it says such hearings shall be stenographically recorded. That's what it says.
All it says.
That's what it says.
Well, it's a
you say this is a limitation on what the commission can do.
It says shall be stenographically reported, and what we're saying is that the sole memorial allowed under that regulation, Your Honor, is a transcript. As I noted earlier, regulations are supposed to advise the public of what
will
happen.
Your time is actually up, unless my colleagues have.
I have a question for you. You said that the commission had found this rule to be unambiguous. Where did it say that?
Tab 28 of the JA. Judge Williams, at page 12, in the first full paragraph, the commission says, even if there were any ambiguity in Rule 2.8b, which there is not, this is a case that boils down to two proffered plain meaning constructions, Your Honors. Under our construction, the...
I just want to focus on this. Even if there were...
Where are you
that
again?
That seems to entertain the possibility that there is an ambiguity in the rule.
Where is it again?
I'm sorry, Chief Judge Santel. It's at tab 28, page 12, in the first full paragraph beginning moreover. I think, Judge Williams, in the context, it's actually just the opposite. It's the FTC being rather emphatic that this regulation is not ambiguous.
No, I understand what you're saying. Its first position is that it's unambiguous, but here they're stating what seems to be a fallback position, at least in the cases of the sort that you cite Cajun Electric for, that I'm familiar with, there are situations where the agency unambiguously and without qualification found a particular provision to be unambiguous. So and then the court found that it was wrong on that, therefore it should go back to the agency to look at it in light of the actual ambiguity. But here, the agency appears to have looked at it in light of the ambiguity.
Well, if I could answer your question, Judge Williams.
Sure, go ahead, please.
In the FTC's letter ruling in this case, which is at tab 22, the FTC does not purport to be resolving any ambiguity that would result, for example, from inconsistent usages or conflicting provisions.
Yeah, but you called, when I asked you where did it say it was unambiguous, you called my attention to that particular page. And that appears, I think you're right that it is a page in which the commission talks about ambiguity or lack of it and essentially straddles the issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure that a prior statement could undo that. But show me the
That was a two-part answer, Your Honor.
Okay,
I'm sorry about that.
Sure,
tab 22 is the letter ruling, and my only point there is that the FTC doesn't purport to be resolving any ambiguity.
Well,
generally,
they purport to be construing the regulation.
You would agree, wouldn't you?
By its plain meaning, Your Honor.
You would agree that if it's not ambiguous, then the commission's right, correct? We would affirm.
No, Judge Tatel, I'm sorry. I don't agree with that.
Wait a minute. If
you
I
can't
conclude,
get there
if I conclude that this is... If I look at this and say to you, I don't think there's any ambiguity here. The regulation says such hearings shall be stenographically recorded. In this case, that's what happened. There's nothing in the regulation that prohibits anything else, so there's no ambiguity.
Well,
what's the matter with that?
My response,
isn't that,
Your Honor,
exactly right.
You know, there's kind of almost like a white elephant in the room here with this expressio unius. The logic behind expressio unius.
I've never seen expressio unius used in the context of interpreting a regulation. Do you have a case that does that?
I'll try to get you a cite.
You don't have one right now.
I don't have one offhand, yeah. Your Honor.
Well,
but
that's completely a contextual rule of construction anyway. Yeah. But expressio unius applies only where there would be an assumption that they had to have the expression in order to gain the authority. And you're not asserting that they wouldn't have the authority to make such a rule if they chose to. You're just saying that this rule doesn't allow for other kinds, doesn't mandate other kinds of transcription. But you can't show anything, including expressio unius, that seems to suggest that they were excluding other kinds. You say the reason for the rule is to inform the public, but the reason for this particular rule is to mandate stenographic recording, to mandate the creation of a record. It's not just to inform the public, it's to mandate the creation of the record. And they can do that and still consistently make records by other methods, too.
I have a very brief response that will demonstrate that. That doesn't make sense, Your Honor. If you look at the first paragraph of our 28J letter, in section 333D, the FTC says, with regard to recording depositions, they shall be recorded. No qualifier. No specification of means.
Excuse me. What section are you referring to? This is the one in your 38J letter?
Yes, Your Honor.
Did you mention that in your brief?
This provision was not in our brief, and that's why we put in the 28J
letter.
Well,
you know, you can't do that under our rules.
Your Honor, my
you realize that, don't you?
My reading of the
you have to make your arguments in your brief.
My reading,
not in later 38J letters.
My reading of the rule, Your Honor, I read it very closely before I put this letter in. It did not say anything about new cases or new decisions. It said authorities that came to counsel's attention
after
briefing.
You're citing a different regulation. You're not citing a case interpreting this particular rule that's before us. You're citing a new regulation.
Right. This amplifies the points that we
made
in our...
You're citing a new regulation that was not mentioned in your brief.
If I can conclude the point about Section 333D,
sure.
Your Honor.
Do it quickly.
Very quickly, Your Honor. It says, shall be recorded. There's no specification of any means. If you think about that
there's
for a moment...
very, very full rebuttal to that statement. So what?
Here's the so
that's what it says in that rule. That's not what it says in this rule.
Here's the so what, Your Honor. It wouldn't make sense that in adjudicative proceedings where witnesses' rights are being determined, in depositions, which are more formal than investigational hearings, a witness didn't have this minimum right to a transcript, and the FTC could record it in any way that it wanted. But in investigational hearings, this witness would have this minimum standard. The minimum standard is a post hoc rationalization for what they subjugated us to in this case.
That sounds a lot like double talk.
It wasn't intended that way, Your Honor.
Okay. Well, thank you. Your time is up, and we'll hear from the government. Should the government care to be heard?
May it please the court. I think this court has already expressed virtually every argument I would make.
So is it the commission's theory that this language is unambiguous?
It is the commission's position that this language is unambiguous. Shall means must. It is only limiting, it would only be limiting in this case if there were some other means of recording that somehow interfered with the stenographic transcription that the commission shall, must do. But there was nothing inconsistent about videotaping and stenographic transcription. The commission did both in this case without one interfering with the other.
Are you saying that there are no contexts where a directive to do a specific thing precludes the recipient of the directive from doing something else as well? No context whatever.
I
understand the distinctions of the cases that have been adduced by the petitioner.
I wouldn't want to make such a broad statement because I can't imagine every single situation, but certainly in all the cases that have come up here, shall is limiting only when it leads to some inconsistency, and that's not the situation here. There's nothing inconsistent about videotaping and stenographic transcription. If this court has no other questions, I have nothing else.
Okay, thank you, counsel. The case is submitted. Call the next.